Well, welcome everybody to the Tuesday Night Call, our celebration of life. So good to be with you this evening. We've got a little bit of an echo in the phone. Let me go ahead and put this on mute just a moment. I've got it on Q&A mode, so if anyone has a question as we're going through this process, just press *6 on your phone, and you'll come off of mute. You'll know that I can hear you, because if you just say Dave, Dave, Dave enough times, I'll respond, and because this is your call. This is your coaching session. This is an opportunity for us to take on the six qualities of an intentional creator, and I'm so excited tonight because this is the beginning. We just cycled through all six qualities. And last week, live from the Larry H. Miller Center, and many of you were on that call, we had an opportunity to talk about self-esteem and what causes challenges in self-esteem. And now we're going to go back to the beginning, and for the next about 8 to 10 weeks, we're going to work our way through the six qualities of an intentional creator. Those of you on the call that are guests, we want to welcome you this evening. We want to invite you to talk to the person who brought you to this call, the Ogmandino affiliate, and talk to them about how you can be with us every Tuesday night and get the tools, 30 hours of recording, Og's 10 scrolls found in his perennial bestseller, The Greatest Salesman in the World. Have an opportunity to listen to Og narrate the scrolls. Got a section there called Unveiling the Secrets in the 10 Scrolls, which is about a 10-hour program where I share with you the insights I've garnered over the years working with the scrolls, the keys to success to help you break them down into bite-sized pieces, and then hours and hours of material about the six qualities of an intentional creator. These are the foundational characteristics we'll want to master so that we can take on life. Now, you've heard me say this a couple of times, and I hesitate to say this. I want to welcome two special guests tonight. My mother and father are on the phone. My father was with us in the last couple of hours. We were on a call with Kevin Hall and Bob Proctor and Ariel Ford and Harvey McKay, and just a wonderful experience talking about Kevin's book, Aspire. Today is my father's birthday, so it's just so exciting to have him on the call with us and celebrating his birthday as we talk about these powerful principles today, connecting with people. So excited to have everyone here. This is our first, again, call. We're dealing with the six qualities of an intentional creator. These are the foundational principles. And as I was going to say, I always hesitate to say this with my father on the phone, but the truth is this. The name of the new book is going to be, That Sucks, But I'm Okay. Intentionally Creating Peace of Mind in a Firestorm. The body of the book is written, and it'll be fun to see that hit the shelves. I can see the title on the bookshelf, because so many people, when I say that, go, oh man, I got an email back today that was just moving, and he said, and his subject line was, yes, it sucks, and I'm not okay, and I'm hoping to have an opportunity before this day's out to call this gentleman and talk to him for just a moment. He's in one of those really difficult moments in his life. But that's the truth. That's the truth. We live in a time when there are so many things happening that we cannot control. And we can say, well, have positive mental attitude. And yes, we do want to have a positive mental attitude. But positive mental attitude doesn't change some of these circumstances. You don't make GM stock or IBM go up with positive mental attitude. It just is what it is, where it is. But we can choose how we show up. We don't have to be impacted by that negative experience. Most of us get sucked into those challenges, and it sucks the life out of us, our energy out of us, even our desire to live sometimes. But we can choose to step back. We can choose to look at life differently. And tonight we're going to talk about the single most important quality to assist us in this endeavor. Og calls it the greatest secret of success in all ventures. He says muscle can split a shield and even destroy life. We can be sledgehammers in this world. This is only love That's agape love, a heightened level of awareness, seeing someone the way God sees them. Only this will open their hearts. And until we master this art, we'll be no more than a peddler in the marketplace. I will make this my greatest weapon. And none on whom I call can defend against this force. He talks about the clothes we wear, the ideas we have, even the bargains we present can cause suspicion. But with this love, we can melt all hearts, not some hearts, but all hearts, liken unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. Well, tonight, we're going to walk through step by step the first half of connecting with people. Learning how to master this art. What's involved? How do we apply it? Where did we find these truths? By dissecting lives of people who are natural connectors. This is what they do. And those who apply these principles begin to experience a couple things in their lives. Number one, something starts to awaken inside them. It's as if their divine nature, their goodness starts to show up. They start letting go of their resistance and rebellion and their anger and their fear and their frustration. Something good wakes up inside of them. It's always been there, but sometimes it's covered with all kinds of other thought processes that have accumulated over a lifetime. Like Og says, I've surrendered my free will to the years of accumulated habits of thinking, and the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path that threatens to imprison my future. And all of a sudden we start applying the principles we're going to talk about tonight, and something starts to awaken inside of us. Our self-esteem begins to heal. We begin to understand what it means to be in a partnership with a power greater than ourselves. We begin to get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems in ways that we can serve others. Their walls of resistance come down. Their cooperation, their productivity floods out to us. And it feels very warm and very joyful. We experience real joy. The rest of the qualities really are to assist us in doing what we're going to talk about tonight even better. So in the next 2 weeks, tonight and next week, we're going to talk about the key. Og says, I can succeed with this alone. And though I have all the skills and knowledge of the world, without this, I will fail. So this alone, I can succeed. So let's dive into these principles. I'm so excited you're here tonight. So excited my parents are with us. So excited we have the friends here at our home. Little barbecue. Talk about these principles. After that, we'll talk about our affiliate program. You on the phone who are guests, who've come to find out if this really does matter. May you discover tonight the power in these principles. Here is the first principle in connecting with people. Everyone has a wall around them. Now, Og tells us that wall is built through suspicion and hate. Those are strong words. Through life experiences, we have learned to guard ourselves. And so we focus on ourselves. We step out into the world with this wall around us. And we look out in the world, and everybody else has one too. When we finally can see clearly that everyone has a wall of resistance around them, when we can see that, we began to become rare. When we stopped focusing on ours and trying to protect ourselves and being worried about what other people think about us, and I quote this often, Harvey Schoff, development partner in the assessment tool we use, said we'd be less concerned about what others think about us if we knew how little they actually do. Because everyone's focused on their own pain, their own sorrow, their own frustration. They're all wallowing in their own stuff, their own fears, anxieties. They're trying to look strong. They look pretty put together. And it takes a lot of energy for some to do that with some of the thought processes that they're entertaining. And we walk out and we look okay. And all of a sudden, we make a decision. So rare. So unusual. We step outside of our own wall. Somewhat naked to the world. We start noticing other people's walls. And we wonder what it's like behind their wall. What's it like in their world? What's it really like in their world? What's happening for them? And when's the last time someone cared enough about you? Those who are listening, I just think about this. When was the last time someone cared enough about you to just listen, to be totally available to you? To listen to you and your challenges without needing to fix you. Till you knew that they knew where you were. They understood you. They comprehended. They grasped together. They connected with you. Really connected. And you felt understood. When's the last time that happened? Because I've asked that question hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in coaching sessions. And I can't think on one hand someone who responded immediately with, well, it was my wife, my husband, my mother, my brother. Now, some can, but so rare. The invitation tonight is to become one of those people, one of the rare ones. Because when we do this, we become attractive. This is the key to the law of attraction. This is the key that unlocks the door to the law of attraction. So from this point forward, this night forward, we're going to, if you're open to this, if you're ready to step outside your wall, if you're ready to start taking down other people's walls, stepping into their world, really connecting with other human beings, having your divine nature wake up, feeling their cooperation and productivity flooding over to you, if you're ready to experience the law of attraction in your business and in your relationships, then start viewing everybody as having a wall around them. And before you begin to pour out your ideas of how things ought to be, politically, financially, relationships, before you try to fix, first seek to understand. That's Stephen Covey. First seek to understand. So everybody's got a wall. Who on the call tonight has got the courage to do just the opposite of what this world is teaching us to do? The world wants us to focus on ourselves and our needs. The law of abundance teaches us to focus on others. Not the law of abundance that can be sometimes taught, the one that actually works, that creates real abundance, the real law. So, envision this wall. You walk up to someone. Be more interested in listening, in discovering, in connecting, than in sharing and telling and fixing. Be the listener. There is such power in silence. That's the first we going to do about this wall? How do we actually take it down? How can we get inside someone's world and make this connection? And many of you are in a business where the decision to get in a business is made at this level. If you don't go there with them, they'll go there by themselves. And they'll go into those thought processes, many of which are in a mess. And they'll come out with probably a pretty bad decision. If you can go in with them and be a safe place for them to explore, you may be able to give some gentle guidance, some encouragement. What tools do we use? How do we get in here? Those of you who are on the last call for the last couple of hours, I had the privilege of talking about the chapter in Kevin's book entitled Aspire. And the book Aspire, entitled Empathy. The key to getting inside someone's world, to opening the door and stepping in, is empathy. I want to give you my definition of empathy. Empathy is that which we have when we own our life experiences and choose to use them in the service of another person. Empathy, it allows us to be on somebody else's path. Now, I want to speak to those on the phone who have had some really traumatic things occur in their life. Perhaps as a small child. Perhaps something that's happened in a marriage or in teenage years or a financial debacle, something where you've lost everything. You've lost a house or had a car repossessed or lost a job, maybe a marriage that's been blown apart. Just ponder for a moment. What have you experienced? Have you, until this night, had shame around some of those things? Maybe you did something that hurt another. Just reflect on it for a moment. How have you been carrying your life experiences? In the material, I want you to go back and listen to the Chicago Dream. I won't tell the dream tonight, other than to tell you that we can drag around in our sack our past experiences, things that were done to us and things that we did to others. And we can drag this around as an excuse for our behavior, as a reason for our lack of success. We get to be victims, and many of us do at varying degrees do this. If you are dragging a sack, I want you tonight to empty it. And before you go to sleep tonight, pull out a piece of paper and write down as many of the things that you can identify that are in your sack. I had many in mine. Some of them awful. Some of them embarrassing. What's in yours? Is there anything happening today that is just emotionally debilitating? Some of those things may be passing through your mind. If you're ready, start writing them down. Because I want you to know the experiences that you've had and the ones you're currently in will be, if you choose to, your single greatest asset. And how is that possible? David, that was awful. They robbed me of. They took this from me. They caused this. My whole life has been. Yes, that's true. That's true. But the truth of the matter is, and I'm going to read it to you. This is found in Kevin's book on empathy. He quoted it from our material graciously. chapter, we write in our intentional creation material, our character. All that you are right now, your character, has been forged in the furnace of adversity. We know what pain feels like. Just look at that list. You know what pain feels like. We cannot change the past. No matter how much time we spend lamenting it, being angry, resistant, resentful, we cannot change the past. That is the absolute truth. And the longer we hang on to it, the longer we will avoid abundance in our life. However, we can choose to use these reference points, these experiences, as a rich resource to assist us in better understanding and connecting with people. You know what it feels like. The beautiful thing about empathy is no one needs to script this moment for you. I'll set you in the moment with the principles. In just a few moments, we'll walk through those. But when you're there, no one will need to script it for you because you know what it feels like. You have been there. You have been so uniquely prepared for this moment in history. I believe in the next decade we're going to experience some pain that will be unspeakable for many, and those who have already had it will be able to serve and succor those who are going through it and assist them in becoming intentional creators of their life. Oh, you're so prepared. Because when we use our life experiences in the service of others, and I'll show you in a minute how to do this, we will finally find purpose in our suffering. Because right now, for some, to look back at some of those, there is no purpose. There's no reason why that should have happened. And I can hear some of you saying, and anybody told me that's just the way it was given to me for a learning experience. No, thank you. I don't think it happened so I could learn, but it did happen. So, I can choose to learn from it, or I can resent it, resist it, be angry about it, and have it rob me of even more than it took when it happened. It took enough already. Don't let it take any more. Tonight, make the decision to find purpose in that suffering, joy in your journey, and much healing in your soul. Empathy is our life experience brought to the life of another to serve them. And in that service, bless their life. And in blessing theirs, bless your own. Ultimately, you're the beneficiary. Ultimately, you're the beneficiary. So empathy is the single greatest tool you'll use. The second is your intuition. Intuition is your inner sense of knowing. In time, as you listen to and follow the principles, these six qualities of becoming an intentional creator, you'll have an increasing number of inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems, and you will learn to trust them, first hear them, and then trust them, and then act on them. Those intuitive feelings that will come to you, I believe that power greater than us, that I call God, speaks to us in inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. Are we willing to hear them, trust them, and act on them? As we do, we will become increasingly effective connectors. So empathy, your life experience, and to your intuition, your inner sense of knowing, your gut feeling. Now, right now, some of you have thought processes that are going to give you inaccurate gut feelings. And so we will work through these thought processes very quickly. Just write these down if you don't have your assessment in front of you. You want to look at the six measurements on the left-hand side of the graph: empathetic, interest in another person, respectful, seeing how the physical parts of a person can add to their value, accepting how their beliefs and opinions can add to them, being tolerant when their beliefs are different and could hurt them. Can you see that clearly? Just and fair when their behavior is inconsistent, and compassionate when they are suffering. Compassion. Passion means a willingness to suffer for something we love. Compassion, a willingness to suffer with someone that we love. Can we see someone else's pain? Check those six measurements out and listen to them. Double-click on the measurements on your assessment and listen to them. What thought processes are showing up that will get in the way of what I'm about to teach you in terms of these principles of intrinsic validation? There are seven of them. And these are the seven steps or seven principles we will want to master. Everyone has a wall. I'm armed with my life experiences. Oh my goodness. Og tells us, we're already have the experience we need to succeed. Our life experiences and our intuition, once we start to bring our thought processes congruent and we start thinking in a balanced way, we'll be able to start trusting our thoughts. Our intuition will be able to show up. So take a look at those six measurements. If you're working with your coach, have your coach spend a little time on those six measurements. You also have in your material now what's called a risk report, or excuse me, assessment report. When you go to connecting with people, one of the very first things on there is your assessment report. You can go into that report, and those six measurements are listed for connecting with people, and you get a lot more detailed information than we gave you in the graphic. That can only give you 20 seconds. I tried to give you the 5 minutes. We had to re-record. It was too long. I gave you 2.5. That was too long. We recorded about 20, 30 seconds. That's about what most people could tolerate when they were first getting acquainted with this topic. Now, as you're digging in deeper with connecting with people at Quality One, go to your assessment report. You can see a great deal more information. And then you'll see the affirmations. Listen to the affirmations. I've recorded them and set them to music. These are the six balanced statements. This is the power in those six characteristics to assist you in bringing them in alignment. As you practice the seven qualities I'm about to teach you, excuse me, the seven principles of intrinsic validation, get everyone confused. Qualities, characteristics, principles. Six qualities, 36 characteristics, connecting with people, seven principles. As you practice these seven principles, and I'll give you some homework assignments tonight, you'll start to bring these thought processes in balance. As you change the way neural pathways are firing in your brain, you'll start to feel an enthusiasm. Your desire will overcome any fear you used to know at sunrise, as Og says. And you'll be happier than you ever believed possible in this life of strife and sorrow, when your thought processes are balanced. So let me teach you the principles. Principle number one. It's called, notice what is important to another person. Notice what is important to another person. In short, notice people. Notice them. This week, your assignment is to start looking for what's important to people. And here's a clue. Start by looking for things that you don't really care about or are not important to you. Now, you're going to feel a little bit like you might be acting or you might be faking it. And you're not acting or faking. You're actually experiencing awareness. You're actually noticing someone and what's important to them. Now, we notice more than we verbalize, so we've broken this down so that principle number two is to actually speak it, say it. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. uncomfortable for some. We actually think we do this, but this week you're going to do it at such a high level so that you can become aware of just how little we actually do it. Actually do it. That's not an indictment. It's an invitation to discover how powerful this principle is of noticing people. Now, I've shared in this material a couple of stories. Ramon and I were just up at the cabin this last weekend with some coaching clients. The last two weekends have been those times when someone coaches with me personally and they get to come to the cabin and spend a weekend. We went last Friday and came home last night. It was just a marvelous experience with them. We were in that cabin when one of the most profound moments happened. I've shared this publicly. I'm going to share it with you again tonight because it's so important. I believe it's so important. We were sitting with five couples in a couples retreat. And there was a couple, and the husband was very quiet, very timid, very shy. Now, I knew some things about him prior to that event, but not all. We have a jacuzzi there at the cabin, and we've taken our shirts off and swimsuits and climbed the jacuzzi, and it was very apparent that he had some tattoos. Had one on his back, on his chest, and on both forearms. And it was the same tattoo in all those locations. I thought that was unusual. One morning, very first thing in the morning, I turned to him and asked if he could share with us the importance of those tattoos. Now, I don't have tattoos. I've got a son-in-law who has tattoos. He's a DEA agent. He's an undercover guy. This is perfect for him. I don't have them. I wouldn't have one. I don't care to have one. No offense to anybody on the phone who may have one. They're not my thing. But if we're looking at another person, a tattoo, a body piercing, those are pretty important things. Even though we don't like them or don't want one or they're not important to us, can we see it? It's the first principle. Can we notice what's important to another person? And I said, tell me about the tattoos. And he told us the story. Growing up, all he wanted to do was join the Marine Corps and get some tattoos. Well, he joined the Marine Corps, got trained as a mortarman, and he's getting ready to be shipped off to Iraq. He goes into a tattoo parlor. And he did this with his left index finger on his right forearm as he drew across the tattoos, three crosses, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I wanted where I could see it, but in both arms. I wanted them protecting my chest, my heart, and I wanted them protecting my back, watching my back. You could see the emotion start to well up in the eyes of those who were participating. They had no idea. He said, I went there and I fought in the Battle of Fallujah. And he used this phrase, the smell of death was everywhere. His buddies were dying. It was brutal. He survived, came back to the States, was back 9 months, and his unit was called up a second time. He said, I went back into the tattoo parlor, and I had him reinforce it. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they were really big tattoos with shadows on them. A drop shadow. And I went back, and I survived. When he finished telling his story, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. And we watched a miracle occur. His walls came down. His cooperation, his productivity opened up. He started to laugh with us, started to participate more. We had cared enough about him to ask him about what was important to him. I've asked a lot of people about their tattoos since then. The cab driver with one on her forearm, right below her wrist, the things about this tattoo that reminded her of her brother. Then she touched it lovingly and said, this way he can be with me every day. Wow. What is it that we miss? I shared one more story in that group. We're in Chicago. A group of people around a table. A young man walked in who had a, our waiter had a pencil-thin mustache and beard. Tell us about the beard. You know, if you miss, you wipe out half of it. He lit up. I'm convinced in retrospect, he'd been cutting that beard for months and months and months, and probably no one had ever asked him about it. Yet he invested a half hour of every morning trimming it. It was really important to him, and nobody, probably no one, had ever asked him, said anything about it. Now, I'd never have a pencil-thin mustache and beard. Maybe you wouldn't either. But this was not about us. No one at that table. This was about him. So principle number one, can we see what's important to another person? Look at your measurements. You may be so focused on someone's outward appearance, you may be intimidated by them and have a big chicken list, people you're afraid to talk to. You may be judgmental and critical and see what's wrong in people. In scroll number two, which is the supporting scroll, Og tells us a very important lesson. I'll read it to you. He says this, and how will I confront each whom I meet? In only one way. In silence and to myself, I will address him and I will say, I love you. Now that's in silence and to myself, okay? Though spoken in silence, these words will, write these things down, just alone, shine in my eyes, so eyes, unwrinkle my brow, bring a smile to my lips, echo in my voice, and his heart will be opened. And who is there who will say nay to my goods when my heart feels my love? 1968. Og just outlined several of the key elements that a person's mirror neurons pick up. The mirror on the wall. We know the fight or flight center generates these mirror neurons. And before a person has a conscious thought, because they fire at twice the speed of a normal neuron, a mirror neuron will release chemicals into a person's body, and they will either feel comfortable, they'll feel frightened, whatever the emotion might be that will come from the chemical that's released, based on what these mirror neurons are reading. When you walk up to someone with this energy and you shake their hand and silently and to myself I say, I love you, the very muscles in your face will reflect it. There are 200 different muscles in our face. The math is 2 to the power of 200 minus 1. That's how many different combinations there can be. And mirror neurons can read every one of them. It's millions and millions and millions of facial expressions. You cannot fake what you're thinking. It leaks out on your face. And if you're thinking, I love you, your face will reflect it. It will shine in your eyes. It will unwrinkle your brow. It'll bring a smile to your lips. It'll echo in your voice. And his heart will be opened. He'll be comfortable. Open means you're attractive. Steps into your world. I write in the material that when I first studied the scrolls, I was very resistant to that idea. Guys, don't do that. We don't silently or any other way into ourselves say, I love you. This is not manly. But much to my shame, when I did it, the first thing I discovered was just how judgmental I had been. many opportunities that I missed to connect, because it was written on my face, no matter how genuine I was trying to look. So start noticing what's important to people. And as you notice, verbalize it. It may be a little uncomfortable. That's okay. You might be in new territory. That's okay. Because this is the road that leads to connection. This is the secret to success in all ventures. If you have been struggling to find success, don't fight this, surrender to it. This is the path. So principle one, notice what's important. Principle two, verbalize it. Now we're going to shift into another area. This is like graduate connection. We move from noticing someone to actually feeling what a person is feeling. This is what they teach psychoanalysts, to feel what someone's feeling. Because if they can feel it, they're more capable of giving someone good advice as a therapist. Now, we're not therapists, but the truth is still a truth. We are programmed as human beings. They call it the bone-skin barrier. We are literally programmed to connect with someone else. People's feelings are contagious. We can focus on a person, listen to a person, be with a person, and begin to feel what they're feeling. That's how our empathy comes alive. We call this principle number three, listening for doors. Now, the door is in reference to a person's wall. There's this big wall. You want to get inside. You got to find the door so you can get inside. You'll get the wall to come down, but you got to get inside. So we're listening for a door. And when we hear it, we want to step through it. A door. Be really clear about this. A door is a verbal hint about what someone is thinking. That's a strange thing, but human nature, we by our very nature telescope what we're thinking. I don't even think we do it consciously. We say little things. We send it out there. We telescope it out there to see how people respond. I was having the most fun this weekend. We were hiking up to Bloomington Lake. Matter of fact, there's a picture of Ramona on my Facebook of her lying in a field of wildflowers at Bloomington Lake. And there we were, all these adults walking, and right behind us was a group of teenage girls. And I was so intently listening to their conversation, because not one of them was paying attention to what anybody else was saying. Ramona was there with me. She's probably chuckling on the other line if she was listening. There were five teenage girls all carrying on a private conversation publicly, and nobody was caring one iota about what the other person was saying. Now, you can expect that from young teenage girls. What's tragic is when adults do this. When adults, someone says, well, gosh, I'm really tired today. And the other person, yeah, me too. Yeah, kids stayed up all night. Yeah, my husband was blah, blah, blah. And they sound just like adult versions of those teenage girls. Could we stop for a moment and be the one who listens, who doesn't need to be heard, who doesn't need to speak, who doesn't need to be right, who doesn't need to fix? Stop that. Just be a listener. Just a listener. Be available. Because people will send out hints. And some people are pretty guarded, because almost every time they do, they get their toes cut off. Just what happens. Now you're going to show up different. We're going to show up being the rare one. And someone's going to give us a door. And quite often, these doors, these verbal hints about what someone's thinking, they can be caustic. They can be hurtful. They can even be harmful. Because sometimes they sound like they're talking about us. Sounds like they're angry at us. Sometimes they're just angry, and we just happen to be the target. What are you doing? Why are you spending your money on that? And we want to go into justification and rationalization and all the reasons and explanation. No more. Starting tonight, our mission is to step into their world. That's just a big barn door. That's all that is. And so we step into their world. They just open up a big door. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't slam it shut with justification, rationalization, needing to fix them and convince them. Don't throw up all over their wall. You throw up on their wall, it will splash back. You project, it will be rejected. And it tastes terrible. Don't do it. Well, share with me what you're thinking. Tell me more about that. I'm listening. Lean into the conversation and actually care about what they're thinking. Don't take it personally anymore. Just listen. Oh, I did that once and I wasted all this money and blah, 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 blah. Oh. Well, tell me more about that. Oh, I got into one of those companies once and blah, 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 and my uncle lost his house and the company went bankrupt. All we want to do is tell them why this one won't. Why this one's the right one. Why this is the salvation for the world. Why everybody can get healed from cancer and diabetes. No. Uncle lost a house? Was it on your side of the family? Or your wife's? My wife's side of the family. Ooh, how tough was the family reunion the next year? When you first got in that company, how much money were you hoping to make? Oh, 10 grand. What were you going to do with it? I was going to pay off my house. I was going to get a boat. I was going to go on vacations. I was going to help my children get through college. Did you ever find a way to do that? No. Are there some things you weren't able to do because of that? Yes. What kind of regrets has that created in your life? How do you know to ask these questions? Anybody here ever had a dream shattered? Anybody here ever had an expectation that was unmet? What did it feel like in your life? If you're still dragging it in a sack, you don't have a reference point. If you've taken it out of the sack, engraved it on your heart, and it's now available to serve another person, you'll know the questions to ask. You won't need a script. You won't need a script. Just listen for doors. They can be really simple. Well, I was thinking about starting a business. Those of you that are in networking or direct sales, the risk is at that point in time, it's like, oh man, I've got the best business for you. Just listen to me. Blah, blah, blah. Oh. What kind of businesses have you explored? If you could start the ideal business, what would it be? Or what would it do? Or how would it function? We want so quickly to fix, so quickly to give advice, because we think we've got the answers. Here's a rule of thumb. Principle 3, you listen for a door. When you hear it, you step into their world. Principle 4, you're going to create a safe place. You never create a safe place by fixing or giving advice. You create a safe place by having that person know that you know where they are. And you didn't try to fix them. Now you're safe. Remember, the wall was built up because of hate and suspicion. It's reluctant to come down. The safer the place, the quicker the walls come down. And so we listen. We listen and we listen. If you can't think of a question to ask, just lean in. I'm just listening. Sometimes just the silence of listening, just listening. The more you're connecting, the walls are coming down, safer places being created. Your assignment this week, principle one, is to notice what's important to people. Principle two, verbalize it, even if it's uncomfortable. Principle three, to listen for doors. Sit down with someone you love and just listen. How was your day? This takes some real patience. How was your day? Oh, tell me more about that. What happened next? If you're doing it with a child, I hate my English teacher. Now there's a great door. I hate my English teacher. How many of us parents have said, oh, I'm sure she's a wonderful lady. She's got all those students to teach. I'm sure she's doing the very best she can. Oh, my goodness. What would happen if we said, oh, share with me what your experience has been like. What's happened? Oh, she does this and she does that. Oh, those are good things. We don't go there. No. Well, what happens for you? How do you feel when that happens? What do you wish was different? And the safer you create this place for the child, the more the wall comes down of hate and suspicion. And what's interesting is most of the time when they're done, all they wanted to do was be heard. They didn't really hate their English teacher. They just feel alone. And you just create a safe place for them. If you've got a child, become a listener. There's a very good chance if they're a teenager, they'll tell you something you don't want to hear. If you create a safe enough place, they may be doing something you don't agree with. Create a safe place. They'll change more from your love than from your discipline. Create a safe place. With a committed companion, listen. Especially you guys. If I said to your companions, when you're sharing something, if your companion were to say, when you say, what should I do? If they were to respond, would you like me to give you advice or would you prefer I just listen? 99% of the time, plus. The maid says to me, I would wish he would just listen. He's always trying to fix me. Now, there's somebody on the phone tonight who's smiling. Yeah, but she's always trying to fix me, too. Yeah, I hope she's on the phone with us so both of you can stop the fixing and just become the safe place for listening. We may think we've got the answers, but here's your rule of thumb for the week. As you're listening and you think you now have the answers, ask one more question. Just one more. It has been my experience that I learned more in that last question than I learned in all the questions before that one. The safer it becomes, the more a person will share with each question. Now, some of you will get into lengthy conversations this week. Next week, we're going to talk about how to bring those conversations into context so that you step into a person's world as faithfully, truly interested in what they want or their dreams or their hopes, but within boundaries. So you don't sit down with a prospect and say, how's your life? And half an hour or an hour and a half later at lunch, you're trying to figure out how to segue into your discussion about your business, which is why you invited them in the first place. And you have that awkward segue. The reason why I brought you here was, or the real reason why I wanted to talk to you is, and you get that big thud in the conversation. I'll show you how to narrow the context. Whatever business you're in, whatever kind of relationship you're in, then we're going to talk about how to try on someone's dreams, because in this very sacred space, if you create safety, you're going to learn some things that you'll want to really honor. And before you share with them what you want to share, it's important that with the knowledge of them that you try it on and see how it fits. How does it really feel? We'll talk about that piece. Then we'll talk about timing. Is it the time to share? Because sometimes it's not. We want to tell them everything. Sometimes it doesn't need to be told then. And lastly, gaining agreement. And sharing the part you would like to share, if it's the right time. And if it's the right thing to bless their life. What do you do with objections? What do you do when someone raises one? How do you handle that? We'll walk through all those pieces next week. And then we'll go into a subject called partnership, which is what you're learning through this process of really noticing a person, feeling what they're feeling, and truly showing up to serve them to meet their needs. How you become a partner with a power greater than yourself, whose mission is to bring joy to people. You're now on the same mission. And the blessings that can come into your life in terms of speeding up your journey, opening up opportunity because of the pureness of your intent. This week, practice. What's important? Verbalize it. Listen for those doors. If you've got any questions about this, go back and just go to your tool set. Go to Quality One. Collect on Connecting with People. Go to Intrinsic Validation Part 1 and listen to, there's about an hour and a half of material just on this section we're talking about tonight, maybe 2 hours. Doors, listen to the doors. Step into their world. Tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. I'm listening. Then once you're in, stay in. Focused on creating a safe place, genuinely. Using your empathy to guide your feelings, your intuition to guide the questions you ask. So their walls can come down. Because when walls are down and cooperation and productivity is flooding out, you can talk about anything, even firmly, and not offend. You're safe. You're now in their world, in a comfortable place. Now this week, your homework assignment in addition to those practices is to study scroll number 2 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. It's going to be tough for some. You've got thought processes that are resistant to structure. Look at analytical on the left-hand side and goal-oriented on the right. It's number 9 on both sides. Look at those, orange or red. Disciplined, third one down on the left-hand side. Orange or red. How much pressure are you getting when you're sitting down to read a 4.5-minute scroll? What is the dialogue? What are you telling yourself? Listen for it. And then read it anyway. And feel clearly how you're feeling when you finish. Sense of accomplishment, but also an awakening of something inside of you. These scrolls are written in the language of the intrinsic. That means there's unlimited interpretations and unlimited applications. They meet you where you are living that day to address the very issues you're thinking about. So you will want to read them 3 times a day or listen to them on the CD. That's your assignment this week. Let's take this on and begin this journey of learning how to master this art so that we can master the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Now we have about a minute. Is there anyone on the call who would like to share anything about their experience or have a question they would like to address before we wrap up this session? I would invite you to just press *6 and just jump out tonight and say hi for us. Is there anyone who would like to share?
Dave?
Yes.
Hey, it's Bob from Idaho.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
How good to have you on the phone.
Thank you. I'm just going to share a little something that happened today with me with a dear friend of mine who I'm going to be introducing you to, where we were kind of talking business, and I broke down and asked him how his son was doing, who had been involved at age 16, that's about 15, maybe even 20 years ago, in a boating accident, but jumped off a boat at Lake Powell and broke his neck and became a quadriplegic. He also became the president of the student body presidency of the BYU after that incident happened. But as we talked, he told me about some difficulty that his son's wife was going through medically, pretty severe things. And with what you were talking about tonight, what I experienced was the fact that let him open up to me instead of me telling him about what you know about that I've gone through. And it was, I don't know how to say it. It was just so heartwarming and such a neat feeling of a connection that we've made. And we've been very connected over the last 35 years, but just by letting him share the difficulties that he's been going through lately. Prior to that conversation, I was telling him about you and my association with you and stuff, and that sucks, but I'm okay. And he was relating to me the fact that we can constantly are going through different things throughout our life, and when we get through one, close that door, something else opens. So then at the end of the conversation, I learned about what was going on in his life.
Bob, how hard was it? Because we have two options at that moment. One is to know the questions to ask as you are going through it, or just tell them your story. How hard was it to bite your tongue and not tell your story at that point?
It wasn't. Actually, in my situation, it wasn't, because he already knew my story.
Yeah. You've already been through coaching, right?
Yeah. But in normal circumstances, your inclination would be to spill your guts instead of open your ears.
Yeah. Spill your guts versus open your ears. That's great. So you open your ears, you show up for them, and create even deeper connection and trust and love.
That's right.
Well, our heart goes out to you and our joy with you, since no one really knows other than Bob in Idaho. Would it be okay if I shared just briefly what you've just gone through?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Bob's wife went in for an examination. The doctor told her she had cancer and she needed to prepare for the worst, and they did a biopsy. And they went in to get the results, and it turned out she didn't have it, but they lived with that eventuality for nearly a week. And those who love Bob, I know at our home we were praying feverishly for you, and what a joy to not have to be facing that right now. Just want to honor you, both for the other triumphs in your life, which we will keep private. But what a...
All right.
Yeah, how exciting, huh? Well, thank you, and thank you all for being on this call. Let's come prepared next week. I would like to, before we go into the other principles, to have just a few minutes to have you share some of your experiences looking for what's important, verbalizing it, listening for a door, stepping into someone's world, and then creating a safe place. So come prepared next week to share your experience, study that scroll, take this on. We'll give you the last half of it next week, and then you can begin the process of mastering this art. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night and a great week, and we will see you next Tuesday night on this call, our celebration of life. And again, happy birthday, Dad. We'll talk to you later, everyone. Thanks.